Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Luke 18. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 34. This is God's word. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. You can also translate that, prayed to himself. "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I've kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Now, as Jesus tells these stories, we see little commentary from Luke about what his motivation was, the point that he was seeking to make. Jesus gave or told his disciples a parable in order to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That's the point of the story. Always pray, don't give up. And he gives the reason why. And that is because unlike the unjust judge, who also will eventually give in and do what he's being pestered to do, God, who is not unjust but is rich in mercy, is certainly going to answer the prayers of his chosen, beloved people who are crying out to him for justice. Be careful, by the way, about praying for justice. I don't want what I deserve, just so you know. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told a parable about the two men who went up to pray. You hear me refer to this all the time. It is such a great illustration of the danger of self-righteousness. Two guys go up to pray, Jesus said. One of them is a Pharisee. And the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. That's the way it's translated here. It's translated several different ways. You can check the NASB, the King James, the ESV. Everybody's got a slightly different take on this because, again, it's a little ambiguous. But my favorite is he prayed to himself, okay, which is a legitimate translation of this. Now, that doesn't just mean he was praying so that only he could hear and the other people couldn't. The idea is, he was making a speech for his own benefit as somebody who basically worships himself. He thinks he's great. He thinks he's righteous. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Have you ever prayed a prayer similar to that? Nose in the air. Lord, I thank you. I'm such a good person. It's so wonderful being me. When I was a kid, West Side Story came out. There was a song in there where a young lady sings, I feel pretty, oh so pretty, I feel pretty and witty and bright, or something like that. That's what this Pharisee was like. He did not see himself in terms of his flaws. He saw himself in terms of other people's flaws. I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Oh, the wickedness of other people makes me sick. I look around, and even those who seem to be okay on the outside, I know really they are hypocrites. Boy, Jesus said there was another guy there who wasn't congratulating himself. He wasn't boasting of the fact he didn't do this and he does do that. Instead, he was crying out to God for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what the tax collector prayed. Jesus said he was heard. His prayer was heard by God. He was really asking God to have mercy on him. And therefore, you know what God did? God had mercy on him. God had mercy on him. Jesus said that man went home justified before God. Not justified in his own eyes. He didn't say, okay, well, I went up and I prayed, and so now everything's good. No, he's still crying out for mercy. But in God's eyes, he was justified. Why? On the basis of justice? No, on the basis of mercy. He got mercy. That's what he needed. We need mercy. All of us. All of us. So then, Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then he tells his disciples something else. And the context is they're trying to run defense and protect Jesus. His entourage is trying to be sure that he's not going to be bothered with something as frivolous as people wanting him to touch their babies. Bless my child. The disciples were saying, stay away. Get back, get back. Give the man some room. Jesus actually rebuked the disciples. Check the other gospel accounts. They rebuked the parents. Jesus rebuked them. And he said, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them. Why? For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the famous Pharisee, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how can I be born when I'm old? Am I supposed to enter a second time into my mother's womb? This makes no sense. Jesus says, no, I'm not talking about physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You need to be born of the spirit, or you can't even perceive the kingdom of God, much less enter into it. So nobody's going to enter into the kingdom of God on the basis of their accomplishments. Nobody is wanting to draw near to God, and God says, I'm sorry, you're not old enough. You're not smart enough. You haven't done enough. Nobody's saved on the basis of what they've done. We're saved on the basis of what he has done. More about that a little further down. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus throws him off balance with his question in response. Why do you call me good? Question, folks. Was Jesus good? Of course he was. He was perfect. But he said, no one is good except God alone. Who was the rich young ruler talking with? He was talking with God. Did he know that? Absolutely not. He thought Jesus is a good teacher and he's a good man. And Jesus is saying, you don't really know yourself. You think you're good like the Pharisee at the temple compared to other men. We can all find somebody to make us look good. You know, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I've never killed anybody. I've heard that countless times as I've done evangelism over the years. Literally, that phrase, I know I'm not perfect, but I've never killed anybody. Well, thank you so much for that. What are we comparing ourselves to? When we compare ourselves to God and his perfection, All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So Jesus says, no one is good except God alone. I want you to say that. Just get that clear. No one is good except God alone. One more time. No one is good except God alone. So you want me to have a low opinion of others? No, I want you to have a realistic view of yourself before God. What are we? People who need mercy. We need grace. So, Jesus said, you know the commandments, and he listed a few. All these I've kept since I was a boy, the rich young ruler says. So Jesus said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.
I don't like that.
When he heard this, he became very sad. Why? Because he was a man of great wealth. The more we have, the more we're likely to depend on what we have. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful expression. Don't tell me about the gate to the city that was referred to as the eye of the needle. Jesus was making a joke, except it's no joke. Jesus is saying that if you're rich, it's actually harder to be saved. Why? Because you're not in a position of utter dependence on God. And if you're not in a position of utter dependence on God, you're not in a good position to be saved. Well, when they heard that, they said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, well, you know, it's hard for rich people, but poor people, it's pretty easy. No, that's not what he said. He said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Jesus' audience, including his disciples, thought, if you have wealth, it's easier to live a good life. If you have great riches, then you can give to the poor and do various good deeds and devote yourself to the law. Tevye thinks how wonderful it would be to be able to study the Torah because he wouldn't have to work for a living. He has to work so hard he doesn't have a lot of time to go to the synagogue and study. He says, oh, if I were a rich man. That's what we think. You know, I would do more in order to help if I had more money. If I had more money, those rich people, they ought to be doing more. I would if I had the money. No, you wouldn't. You know what you'd do if you had money? You'd do the same kind of thing you're doing now. Most of what you do, we do. I'm not pointing at you. Human nature is, it's mostly for us. I mean, I'm willing to share. If I make a dozen cookies, I think other people ought to be able to have one. And if there are five other people, I'm going to have to give up almost half my cookies. Well, Pastor Wood, you're not really that greedy, are you? No, I'm not really that greedy. I would be willing to give a little more. Five people, 12 cookies. Some of them could have more than one. Guess who's going to have more than one? I made the cookies. Hey, that's only fair. If you get rich, it often, and I know this from counseling with lots of people, it becomes more painful to give 10% of what you got. Now, some people, just the opposite. I've known people who gave away 90% of their income. Literally, 90% of their income. That's good. They kept a tenth. Gave 90% away. But what if I were to give everything? That's what Jesus asked this guy to do. He says, that's all you lack. Just go become poor. Because salvation is not something you can earn. Jesus said, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. That's what's going to make the difference. The riches were an impediment to his following Jesus. The riches were something that he had to manage. Very distracting. He's got a lot of responsibility. Jesus says, you know what really matters? You need to be following me. And you're not going to be able to do that as long as you're trying to carry around a bag of treasure. Drop the treasure, follow me. Salvation, who then can be saved? What's impossible with man is possible with God. Peter speaks up and says, we have left all we had to follow you. Jesus said, no one who's left home or wife or brothers or parents or sisters or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. But what makes the difference? Leaving everything for the sake of the kingdom. Leaving everything in order to follow him. Then Jesus tells them what will make the difference. What will make it possible for people to be saved? Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we're going up to Jerusalem and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He'll be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And on the third day, he'll rise again. And the disciples didn't understand any of it. It was hidden from their eyes. It made no sense. What is he talking about? That's as crazy as going and giving away everything you've got when you're rich. The main point, I'll try to summarize this way. We need to pray persistently and humbly in simple childlike faith. Jesus starts this section by teaching them how to pray. And he says, they should always pray and not give up. So that's persistently. We need to pray persistently. And humbly, like the tax collector. He wasn't asking for what he deserved. He was asking for God's mercy because he knew he was a sinner. We need to pray like little children. They're not educated. They haven't been to seminary. They can't make a good speech. But they can trust somebody. And we need to pray in simple childlike faith. And that means our trust is in him, not in our stuff, not in what we've done. Jesus' death and resurrection is the only thing that makes it possible for anyone to be saved. What is impossible with men is possible with God. Why? Because Jesus is on his way to the cross. And that doesn't even make sense to his followers. Even when he tells them, he'd already told them before, he's telling them again, and they're still not getting it because it's just like, that's not how you build a kingdom. By letting yourself be killed? But Jesus is stronger than death. And he took our punishment so that we could receive mercy. That's what we need. We need to pray persistently and humbly in simple, childlike faith. Don't ever think that you are too small for God to care about, that you are too young for God to care about, that you're not good enough for God to care about. Our only hope is in him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.